Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, in our previous class, we're discussing what the author had mentioned about some of the descriptions of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned that it is a means of protection for those who hold fast to it, and it is a guidance for those who learn it and abide by its guidance, and it is a means of wealth and richness and sufficiency for those who follow it properly, and likewise a protection from the hellfire, as well as a light for an individual in this life and the hereafter, and a cure for the diseases that is in the hearts, and a means of guidance and mercy for those who believe, and a means of guidance and mercy for those who believe. And the author, he mentioned as well that Allah has promised those who believe in it and those who learn it and study it and they implement it and abide by it in their life, that they will enter paradise and they will obtain His mercy and His blessing and His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the author, he mentioned as well his methodology in this work. That is, everything that he mentions in this work is going to be found in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise in the statements of the noble companions and the scholars of hadith after them, radiyallahu anhum. We've seen in our previous class that the author, he began after this mentioning the evidences, and he began with the verse that the people of knowledge have entitled it, Ayatu al-Qurra. Ayatu al-Qurra, the verse of the reciters. The verse of the reciters. And we've seen that Allah, He mentions some of the descriptions of the people of the Qur'an, those who recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they recite it, they recite its words, and they read it. And also they strive to understand it. They strive to understand it, and they benefit from that recitation, and they apply it in their life, establishing the salah and giving their wealth and charity, obligatory and non-obligatory, both in public and in private. All of this, they're doing this, يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورْ. They're doing all of this hoping for a trade that will never perish. I need the most profitable trade, and that is to do business. That is to do business and trade and commerce with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing in Him and believing in His promise and working righteous deeds and hoping for His reward. Working righteous deeds and hoping for His reward. So this is what we had discussed in our previous class. The next verses that the author, he mentions, there are verses clarifying the issue that he mentioned about the fact that the Quran is a cure and a mercy and a guidance for that which is in the heart. It's a guidance, guiding to all that which is good, and likewise it is a cure and a mercy for the believers. It is a cure and a mercy for the believers. So from the methodology of the people of the Quran is that they seek a cure and guidance and mercy when reciting the Quran. And they would present their self and their life and their situation and their circumstance to that which they're reciting and to that which they hear from the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if they find that their life, something from that is in accordance with that which Allah is mentioning, then they praise Allah and thank Him. And if they find that they are in contradiction to anything mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, then they take themselves to account and they repent. And in this manner, the Quran is a cure for them. In this manner, the Quran is a cure for them, curing the disease of doubts and misconceptions, misunderstanding and creed and methodology, and curing likewise the disease of the impermissible lust and desires to do that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they take admonition from the recitation. In our previous class, we read some benefits with regards to a tijara al-rabiha, the most profitable trade. And that again is to do the righteous good deeds, that which is pleasing to Allah, believing in Allah and His promise and hoping for His reward subhanahu wa ta'ala, and establishing the obligations first and foremost and avoiding the prohibitions. And that this is the true business, and this is the true profit, and this is the true means for success in this life and the hereafter. And those who lose out on this affair, then they have lost in their trade, and their commerce was not profitable. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. So the point to make now, barakallahu fikum, based upon what has preceded in our previous class before moving on, is that our business in this life, if we hope for that to be successful, if we hope for that to be profitable, if we hope for that to be good and said, all right, then we must make our business in the hereafter correct. So we must show preference to the business of the hereafter. and to the affair of the hereafter, and to the trade and commerce with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. In this manner, Allah, He will rectify for us our affairs. Some people, maybe they're having problems in their business. Maybe their business is failing, or maybe they're having troubles in their household and their family, or maybe their life is in shambles, or maybe they're trying with different trials and the lies like this, and they're looking for the way out and the reason and the cause for these affairs, and that lies in this issue here. The issue of sincere faith and believing in Allah and establishing the rights of Iman and establishing the rights of the deen and abiding by the legislation of, and law of Allah and abiding by the legislation and law of Allah in public and in private based upon sincere faith while hoping for the reward. Rectifying one's affair with Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost and working for the hereafter, then setting everything else in one's life in accordance to that. In this manner, Allah will rectify the business. He'll rectify your business, He'll rectify your life, He'll rectify your affairs, He will grant you peace and contentment in your heart and make it easy for you even in dealing with the trials and troubles that come in life from the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord guides them by way of their faith. So if we hope to have good business in this life, whether it's a literal business, hoping for profit and gain in the likes like this, or just our dealings and our life with our families and in our life in general, then we must strive to rectify this affair of the hereafter first and foremost. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ كَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ. That whoever makes the hereafter his main concern, then Allah will gather his affairs. وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. And he will place his wealth and richness, contentment in his heart. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. And the worldly life will come to him submissively and easy. This is for the one who makes his main goal and concern the hereafter. The one who has his main goal and concern the hereafter, he is someone who is striving for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and thus everything in his life is based upon that. So all of his other goals in his life that he aspires for, all of his other goals in life that he aspires for, his career, the way that he earns a living, his family, his household, the way that he governs his finances, the way that he governs his wife and his children and the likes like this, all of this is based upon reaching the main goal, the main intention. Everything is in line with that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will enjoy this life in this manner, and the worldly life will come to him submissively while he's content with the decree of Allah and that which comes to him, and he's working for the hereafter. And he's working for the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate his affairs. And many times, those who show preference for the hereafter and they work for that, Allah will also bless them with this life. Allah will also bless them with a good portion of this life. But never will someone show preference to this life and work hard for this life and neglect the hereafter and obtain the best of both worlds. And obtain the best of both worlds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, likewise, when mekanat ad-dunya hammahu, whoever made the worldly life his main concern, his main aim and his main concern, farraqa Allahu alayhi shamlahu, that Allah will put his affairs in disarray and he make his life in shambles and nothing will come together. He'll have little benefit with lots of effort. He'll have little benefit with lots of effort. وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And he'll place his poverty between his eyes, meaning he'll never be satisfied nor content. He'll never truly find happiness, even if he has lots of wealth in his hand. He'll be impoverished in his heart, unsatisfied and uncontent, and not happy with that which Allah has provided for him and that which Allah has decreed. وَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And nothing from the worldly life will come to him except that which is written. So upon reading these verses and studying the likes of this work, we must seek the cure of the Qur'an and the guidance of the Qur'an and the mercy of the Qur'an. And this is by believing in the Book of Allah, and by believing that it's the speech of Allah, and by believing in the meaning of Allah, and by believing in the law and legislation of Allah, and believing in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and then striving to follow that knowledge and to apply it daily. And apply it daily. This is the means to cure the hearts and to obtain the mercy and the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we continue reading. The author says, قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And Allah the Most High, He says, verily this Qur'an guides that which is most just and upright. and gives glad tidings to the believers, meaning in the oneness of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, work deeds of righteousness that they may have a great reward, meaning paradise. And those who disbelieve in the hereafter, for them we have prepared a painful torment. So the Quran, it guides to everything that is best and upright, and everything that is just in all aspects of life. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwamu. Lillati hiya aqwamu. That indeed this Quran, it guides to that which is most just and upright. Here it doesn't mention in what aspect. And this is from the eloquence and the beauty of the Quran. And this is to bring the meaning of generality, meaning that it guides to that which is upright in every aspect of life. The Quran guides to that which is upright and most just. It doesn't say in affairs of creed or in affairs of worship or in affairs of transactions or in affairs of dealings or in this life or in the hereafter, rather in all aspects of life. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Indeed, this Quran, it guides to that which is most just and upright. Most just and upright. And meaning in every aspect of life. The most just and upright creed, the most just and upright methodology, the most just and upright with regards to actions of worship, servitude, and devotion, to that which is most just and upright with regards to law and legislation, with regards to permissible and impermissible, halal and haram, that which is most upright with regards to the decrees and the rewards. All of these affairs are clarified in the book of Allah, and Allah, in His book, He guides to that which is most just and upright in every aspect, in every aspect. It's been mentioned by Qatada, rahimahullah, ibn Diyama. Qatada ibn Diyama al-Sudusi. He died in the year 117 from the students of Anas. He said, إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ يَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى دَائِكُمْ وَالدَّوَائِكُمْ إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى دَائِكُمْ وَالدَّوَائِكُمْ. That indeed the Qur'an, it leads you to realize your diseases and your cures. And it will guide you to these affairs. It will guide and direct you to these affairs. The things that are diseases and ailments and problems for you, and bringing about your failure and weakness, and likewise leading you to understand and realize the cure for these affairs. He says, فَأَمَّا دَاءُكُمْ فَالذُّنُوبُ وَالْخَطَايَا. And as for your disease and illnesses, then it is the sins and actions of disobedience. وَأَمَّا دَوَاءُكُمْ فَالِاسْتِغْفَارُ. As for your cure, it is to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he mentions now, وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Allah the Most High, He says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And we send down from the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. And we send down from the Qur'an that which is a healing, shifa, and a mercy, rahma, for those who believe. Meaning believing in the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they act upon it. And it increases the oppressors and wrongdoers in nothing but loss. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. So it is a guide and a light. It is a mercy and a cure for the believers. And the more one believes and strives to cultivate the sincere faith in his heart and apply it in his life, the greater portion he will have from that cure and from that mercy and from that guidance. As for those who oppress and those who are unjust, and those who disbelieve or rebel against the commandments of the Quran, then it will not increase them except in loss. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, O mankind, there has come to you a good advice and admonition from your Lord, meaning this Quran, ordering all that is good and forbidding all that is evil, and the healing for what disease of ignorance, doubt, hypocrisy, and differences in your hearts, your breasts, and the guidance and the mercy, meaning explaining lawful and all unlawful things, explaining all lawful and unlawful things. This is the guidance and the mercy of the Quran, directing the people to that which is lawful and unlawful, directing the people to that which is lawful and unlawful, and clarifying the pathway that leads to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His mercy, and likewise clarifying the pathways that are contrary to that. This is the guidance and light of the Quran and the mercy of the Quran, and this is for those who believe, for the believers. O mankind, there has come to you a good advice from your Lord, meaning the Quran,
ordering all that is good and forbidding all that is evil, and the healing for what disease of ignorance, doubt, hypocrisy, and differences, and the likes is in your breasts, a guidance and a mercy, explaining lawful and unlawful things for the believers. For the believers. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And Allah the Most High, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُّبِينًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ فَسَيُدْخِلُهُمْ فِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُّسْتَقِيمًا The author, he mentions, and Allah the Most High, he says, O mankind, verily there has come to you a convincing proof, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise this Qur'an, from your Lord, and we sent down to you a manifest light, meaning this Qur'an. So as for those who believe in Allah and hold fast to Him, as for those who believe in Allah and hold fast to Him, He will admit them into His mercy and grace, meaning into paradise, and guide them to Himself by a straight path. And guide them to Himself by a straight path. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُّبِينًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ O mankind, indeed the clear decisive proof has come to you from your Lord, and we have revealed to you a light. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been sent and he has come with a revelation. He has come with the light, a revelation that is clear. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ فَسَيُدْخِلُهُمْ فِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا And as for those who believe in Allah and hold fast to Him, and He seek refuge and protection, holding fast to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by trusting and relying upon Him and obeying Him in public and in private, now Allah, He would admit them into mercy from Him and grace, and He will guide them to Him a straight path. And He will guide them to Him a straight path. So therefore, one, he must believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise make al-i'tisam. Al-i'tisam billahi Azza wa Jal. Meaning put one's trust and reliance and sincere faith upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And make tafweed of the affairs. You need to entrust all of the affairs to Allah Azza wa Jal, along with taking the means that are lawful and legislated to obtain the good that one knows and to be safe from the evil that one knows. So therefore, al-i'tisam nu'ani. Making al-i'tisam is two types. Al-i'tisamu billahi wa al-i'tisamu bihablihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Holding fast to Allah and holding fast to the rope of Allah. And these are the two means of safety and savior. And this is what the author is mentioning here in the next verse. وَقَالَ عَزُّ وَجَلْ وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا Al-ayah. وَحَبْلُ اللَّهِ هُوَ الْقُرْآنِ And hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah, meaning this Qur'an. And be not divided amongst yourselves. And then he said, Rahimahullah, the rope of Allah is the Qur'an. The rope of Allah is the Qur'an. So in the first verse, Allah is mentioning that the believers, they make al-i'tisam billah. And Allah, He has ordered this, in His book likewise. وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّسِيرُ Hold fast to Allah. وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِاللَّهِ Make al-i'tisam billah, with Allah. Huwa mawlakum, He is your master, He is your protector, He is your Lord. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّسِيرِ He is the best protector and guardian, He is the best helper and one to aid. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in His book that whoever truly holds fast to Allah in the manner prescribed, then he will be guided. وَمَا يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ And whoever makes al-i'tisam Billah, then indeed he will be guided to the straight path. Al-i'tisam billah is to have al-istiyana wa tawakkul wa tafweed al-umur wa tafweed al-umur illa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To put one's trust and faith and reliance upon Allah and seek His help and aid and to strive in His path. The person who will believe in Allah and the command of Allah and in the lordship of Allah and the decree of Allah, and he will entrust his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means to make al-i'tisam billah. Wa'tasimu billahi huwa mawlakum. And put your, make al-i'tisam, hold fast to Allah. And he put your trust and faith and reliance upon Allah and entrust your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is your Lord. He is your protector. He is your master. The best protector and helper, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best protector and helper, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second verse, wa'tasimu bihablillah, and hold fast to the rope of Allah. So there is holding fast to Allah, and there's holding fast to the rope of Allah. We see what it means to hold fast to Allah, but one will not be safe and guided until along with that he holds fast to the rope of Allah. And the rope of Allah is the book of Allah, like the author is mentioning here, and in general the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah, and the law and legislation. So one, he must hold fast to Allah by putting his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah and seeking his help and guidance in all affairs, and entrusting his affairs to Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise take the means by learning the legislation that is prescribed in the Quran and the Sunnah, and holding fast to that. And holding fast to that. Holding on to these two affairs in the manner prescribed, this is the one that will be guided. This is the one that will be guided. Allah promised here, فَسَيُدْخِلُهُمْ فِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. These here, then he will admit them to mercy from him and grace, and he will guide them to him by a straight path. And he will guide them to him by a straight path. So the rope of Allah has been interpreted to mean the book of Allah. And other than that, but what has come in the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just that which is mentioned here by the author. Hablullahi huwa al-Qur'an. The rope of Allah, it is the Qur'an. It's been collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala inni tarikun fikum thaqalaini. Ala inni tarikun fikum taqalaini. Indeed, I'm leaving amongst you two weighty things. Indeed, I'm leaving amongst you taqalaini, two very heavy affairs. Two very heavy affairs. Ahaduhuma kitabullah azza wa jal. Wa huwa hablullah. Man ittaba'ahu kana ala al-huda. Wa man tarakahu kana ala dalala. The first of them is the book of Allah azza wa jal. And it is the rope of Allah. And it is the rope of Allah. Whoever follows it, then he will be upon guidance. And whoever abandons it or turns away from it, then he will be upon misguidance. He will be upon misguidance. So in this narration here, it's clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has interpreted the rope of Allah to be the book of Allah. And clarify likewise that whoever holds fast to that, he will be guided. So the rope of Allah, the Quran, meaning that the rope is something that is has one end and another. It's been mentioned that the rope of Allah is the rope that is descending from Allah to the people. Whoever holds fast to it, it will lead him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will lead him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By learning the Quran and following it, and learning the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and abiding by it, then a person who will be guided directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we had a rope stretched out right now, and on that end, on this end, and when somebody's on that end, or something's on that end, and then we pull it and pull it and pull it and pull it, it will eventually come to us. It will eventually come to us. Or if it's tied in the end, and then we pull it and we follow it all the way to the end, then we're eventually going to get to the end. But if we leave it and let go, or if we hold on to that and something else, we may be delayed. We may be delayed. We may be taken away from the path. But if we hold fast to it and keep moving, we'll make it to the end of that rope. Here, the end is the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Jannah. The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Jannah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, he has some wonderful benefits with regards to these verses. We take a select few, not reading the interpretation of all of them, not reading the benefits from all of them, but from some of them. And the one that we are going to read now benefits from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we send down from the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And we send down from the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers. But it does not increase the wrongdoers in anything except for loss. But it does not increase the wrongdoers, those who are unjust and oppressive, in anything except for loss. قال السعدي رحمه الله فالقرآن مشتمل على الشفاء والرحمة وليس ذلك لكل أحد وإنما ذلك للمؤمنين به المصدقين بآياته العاملين به. He said رحمه الله that the Quran contains both healing and mercy. The Quran contains both healing, cure, shifa, and mercy, rahmah. But this is not for everyone. But this is not for everyone. Rather, it is for the believers who affirm its truth, believe in its verses, and act upon them. So this is the means to obtain the mercy and the healing of the Quran, to affirm its truth and to believe in its verses and to act upon them. He says, وَأَمَّا الظَّالِمُونَ بِعَدِمِ التَّصْدِيقِ بِهِ أَوْ عَدِمِ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ فَلَا تَزِيدُهُمْ آيَاتُهُ إِلَّا خَسَارًا إِذْ بِهِ تَكُومُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْحُجَّةِ. As for the wrongdoers, whether due to disbelief in it or neglect in acting upon it, its verses only increase them in loss, for the Qur'an becomes a proof against them. فَالشِّفَاءُ الَّذِي تَضَمَّنَهُ الْقُرْآنُ عَامٌ لِلشِّفَاءِ الْقُلُوبِ مِنَ الشُّبَهِ وَالْجَهَالَةِ وَالْآرَاءِ الْفَاسِدَةِ وَالْإِنْحِرَافِ السَّيِّئِ وَالْقُصُودِ السَّيِّئَةِ. So the healing, he mentioned, rahimahullah, the healing contained in the Qur'an is comprehensive, encompassing the healing of hearts from doubts, ignorance, false ideologies, corrupt inclinations, and evil intentions. فَإِنَّهُ مُشْتَمِلٌ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ الْيَقِينِ الَّذِي تُزُورُ بِهِ كُلُّ شُبْهَةٍ وَجَهَالَةٍ. Because it includes certain knowledge that eliminates all misconceptions and ignorance. And whenever he learns the Qur'an, and studies the Qur'an, it will remove ignorance and doubt by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will achieve certainty. He will achieve certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that the Qur'an is the truth, and that the Jannah and the Nar is the truth. He said, rahimahullah, وَالْوَعَظُ وَالْتَذْكِيرُ الَّذِي يَزُولُ بِهِ كُلُّ شَحْوَةٍ تُخَالِفُ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ وَلِلشِّفَاءِ الْأَبْدَانِ مِنْ آلَامِهَا وَأَسْقَامِهَا. It provides admonition and reminders that remove every unlawful desire that opposes Allah's commands. It provides admonition and reminders that remove every unlawful desire that opposes Allah's commands. There is admonition in the book of Allah, and there is great promise of mercy and the pleasure of Allah for the obedient, for those who believe and work righteous deeds. And there is likewise admonition in the Quran, in the threat and warning for those who reject faith or rebel against the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So upon hearing these admonitions and this advice and direction, it will affect the heart, and a person, he will leave off those desires and inclinations that are forbidden. He will fight his soul and his temptations in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be cured. He'll be cured by the permission of Allah. The love for those impermissible desires will go away. And he will start to love that which is beloved to Allah. By the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he's mentioning here, what is shifa'i al-abdani min alamiha wa asqamiha. Likewise, the Quran, it also serves as a cure for physical ailments and diseases. A person, maybe he is sick, or he has an ailment or some type of pain in the lysitis physically in his body. And someone who has sincere and true faith, and someone who has knowledge, who can recite on him, or he himself, if he has sincere and true faith, he will recite the Quran on himself with the intention to cure that ailment and to treat that pain, and it will go away. It will go away by the permission of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الرَّحْمَةِ فَإِنَّ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَالْوَسَائِلِ الَّتِي يَحُثُّ عَلَيْهَا مَتَى فَعَلَهَا الْعَبْدُ فَازَ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالسَّعَادَةِ الْأَبَدِيَّةِ وَالثَّوَابِ الْعَاجِلِ وَالْآجِلِ. He said, as for the mercy, it is in the guidance and means that the Quran promotes. Whoever follows these means will attain Allah's mercy, eternal happiness and blessing, both in this life and the hereafter. So this is the means to obtain the cure and the mercy of the Quran, to believe in it and to affirm it, to study it and to learn it, and to follow it and apply it. It's been narrated from Qatada, رحمه ta'ala, about this verse likewise. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءِ. And we send down from the Quran that which is a healing. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ شِفَاءً وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا سَمِعَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ انْتَفَعَ بِهِ وَحَفِظَهُ وَوَعَاهُ. He said, indeed Allah has made this Quran a healing and a mercy for the believers. Whenever a believer hears it, he benefits from it, memorizes it, and comprehends it. He benefits from the recitation and that which he learns from the book of Allah. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. But it does not increase the wrongdoers in anything except for loss. He said, "Rahimahullah, لا ينتفع به ولا يحفظه ولا يعيه," meaning the wrongdoer neither benefits from it, nor does he memorize it, nor does he comprehend it and understand it. Nor does he comprehend it and understand it. وقال رحمه الله ما جالس أحد القرآن إلا فارقه بزيادة أو نقصان. قال ثم قرأ وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا. He said رحمه الله that no one sits with the Quran except that whenever he leaves, either he will leave with an increase or a decrease. He will either leave with an increase or a decrease. I mean, no one will sit with the book of Allah and study it except that whenever he's finished, he will leave and his faith has increased. And the blessing in his life has increased and he has an additional goodness in his life. Or the opposite will be true. Or the opposite will be true. The people, they benefit from the Quran in this manner or they will not benefit from the Quran in this manner. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And then he recited this verse. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And we send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers, but it does not increase the wrongdoers in anything except for loss. And anything except for loss. So to study the Quran is incumbent. But the true means to study the Quran is to study the legislation in the Quran and to study the aqidah that is clarified in the Quran and to learn these issues in detail, little by little, and to learn them with their evidences and the proofs. And then from here, with this knowledge, a person, he will have the tools. He will have the instrumental knowledge that will qualify him now to be able to truly recite the Quran and to benefit. He will have the keys of knowledge, the fundamentals of knowledge, learning about Allah, الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. Learning these fundamentals and the details with regards to this and then studying the Quran. You will not turn one page in the book of Allah except you will find affairs related to this. This is what the Quran discusses and this is what the Quran clarifies. Believing in Allah and the affairs related to that, and believing in the angels, and believing in the prophets and messengers, and believing in the books and the revelation, and believing in the last day and the affairs related to that, and likewise believing in the decree and the power and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Quran clarifies. So by having detailed knowledge of these affairs and foundation, strong foundation in the creed of Ahl Sunnah, then when one studies the Quran, he will benefit in a great manner. As for if he has no knowledge of these affairs, he is unaware of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. He is unaware of what it means to believe in the angels, what it means to believe in the last days. He's unaware of these affairs. He has not studied this whatsoever. Then whenever he reads the Quran, then things are not going to be clear for him. He's going to misunderstand issues or not understand issues at all in the first place. And maybe he will think it's something that's not even beneficial. Maybe he'll think of something that's not even, because he doesn't understand, he doesn't comprehend, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers him with guidance and he has iman in his heart to accept. But many people, they will read the Quran and they will leave with doubts. Wa'iyadhu billah, because they do not have fundamentals. They don't understand the creed properly. They'll read the Quran and they'll have misunderstandings. They'll get up and they'll have misunderstandings. And this is what happened to the likes of the Khawarij. They read the Quran and they don't have fundamentals and the proper understanding and methodology of the religion, how to approach this affair, and therefore they wound up using the book of Allah to declare the best of creation and the most beloved people on earth to Allah on that day to be disbelievers. So no doubt they stood up from the Quran after studying it as losers, as great losers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to study the Quran, one must truly study the law and legislation, study the aqidah and the likes in this manner. Whenever studying the Quran, then a person, he will have great benefit by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, there are benefits from Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah. And the next verse, which is similar. Ya ayyuhan nas, qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifa'un lima fi sudur wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. And Allah the Most High, he said, O mankind, there has come to you instruction from your Lord and healing for what is in the breast and a guidance and a mercy for the believers. Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah, يقول تعالى مراغبا للخلق في الإقبال على هذا الكتاب الكريم بذكر أوصافه الحسنة الضرورية للعباد. Imam Sa'di, he commented here, saying about this verse, and Allah, the Most High, encourages His creation to turn toward this noble book by mentioning its noble attributes, which are essential for His servants, which are essential for His servants. فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ أي تَعِذُكُمْ وَتُنذِرُكُمْ عَنِ الْأَعْمَالِ الْمُوجِبَةِ لِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ الْمُقْتَضِيَةِ لِعِقَابِهِ وَتُحَذِّرُكُمْ عَنْهَا بِبَيَانِ أَثَارِهَا وَمَفَاسِدِهَا. He said, O mankind, there has come to you admonition for your Lord. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. O mankind, there has come to you admonition from your Lord. Meaning that it admonishes you. It warns you against the deeds that incur Allah's displeasure, which necessitate His punishment. The Quran, it admonishes you. Meaning it admonishes you and warns you against the deeds that will incur Allah's displeasure, that will anger Allah, which necessitate His punishment, and cautions you against them by explaining their consequences and harms, and cautions you, warning you against them by explaining in detail the consequences and harms. This is also clarified in the Book of Allah. So many stories of the foul outcome of those who oppose the Tawheed of Allah, and those who disbelieve and reject faith or rebel against the commands of Allah, and those who disrespect the messengers of Allah, the foul outcomes that happen to them. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا. This is from the admonishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Indeed, we have sent to you a messenger, O Ummah of Muhammad, just as we have sent to Fir'aun a messenger. فَأَصَى فِرْعَوْنَ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا. And Fir'aun, he disobeyed the messenger, and we seized him with a terrible punishment. So that's an admonition there for the Ummah of Muhammad. If you disobey the messenger, then Allah will seize you with a painful and painful punishment, the same way He did to those who disobeyed the messengers before. So this is admonition. This is admonition. A person, he will take admonition from these affairs, that which happened to Fir'aun, and that which happened to Haman and Qarun, and the likes like this, and that which happened to Quraysh, and those who opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the foul outcome that they had witnessing these affairs. Even in our lives today, we see people who have opposed the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and likewise foul outcomes have come to them. Waliyadhu billah. So this is an admonition. This is an admonition, and this is the means of that, by mentioning the good and encouraging that, and mentioning examples and parables to clarify that. And likewise by mentioning the evil. By mentioning the evil and the harmful ways and the outcome and consequences of those who are involved in that or do not take heed. He says, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and as a healing for what is in the breast, he says, رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ مِنْ أَمْرَاضِ الشَّهَوَاتِ الصَّادَّةِ عَنَ الْإِنْقِيَادِ الشَّرْعِ وَأَمْرَاضِ الشُّبُهَاتِ الْقَادِحَةِ فِي الْعِلْمِ الْيَقِينِ. He says, and the healing for what is in the breast, he says, this refers to the Qur'an, which is a healing for the diseases of desires that hinder submission to the divine law. We pay attention to this. The desires and whims, following one's desires and disobeying Allah subhanahu, these desires and whims, they will hinder a person from submitting to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They will hinder a person from submitting to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and for the diseases of doubts that weaken certainty and knowledge. So the disease of the shahawat, they have a direct effect in weakening and bringing deficiency to one's deeds. The shahawat, the impermissible lusts and desires, they have a direct effect, corrupting one's intention and weakening his deeds. Corrupting one's intention and determination and weakening his deeds. If he gets involved in the shahawat, this is what happens. Weakening his faith by weakening his religion, by weakening his deeds, bringing deficiency to his deeds and his intention. Instead of intending the pleasure of Allah, he'll intend the dunya. Instead of loving the hereafter and working for the hereafter, he'll prefer this worldly life and he'll follow his desires. Instead of striving to do the righteous and good deeds, he'll be hindered from that and he will do the evil and bad deeds, following his desires. This is the outcome of the shahawat. As for the shubuhat, then this is with regards to knowledge. These doubts and misconceptions and knowledge and in creed, in methodology. This will bring weakness to one's religion in this manner. He will have doubts. He will not have certainty. Or it will come to the extent, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, that he will believe something that is false and not true. He'll believe something that's false and not true. He'll believe something that's false and not true. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, because of a misconception, a misunderstanding. He doesn't have certainty, but he reached a level where he thinks that it's the truth. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, but in reality, he's upon falsehood. But in reality, he's upon falsehood because of a weakness in knowledge and because of a deficiency in studying these affairs related to creed and iman. Related to creed and iman. So the Qur'an is a cure for this and a cure for that. The Qur'an is a cure for this and a cure for that. But if we go back to the previous verse and the benefit that the Shaykh mentioned, rahimahullah, that it's not a cure for everyone. It's not a cure for everyone. Rather, it's a cure for those who believe in it and testify to the truth of it. And they comply to its verses and abide by it in their life. In this manner, a person who will find a great cure for his heart and for his religion and for knowledge and understanding. فَإِنَّ مَا فِيهِ مَنَ الْمَوَاعِذِ وَالْتَرْغِيبِ وَالْتَرْهِيبِ وَالْوَعْدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ مِمَّا يُوجِبُ لِلْعَبْدِ الرَّغْبَ وَالرَّحْمَةِ. He says, for indeed what the Qur'an contains of admonition, encouragement, warnings, promises, and threats instill in the servant both longing for the reward and fear of the punishment, thereby guiding the heart towards righteousness. Thereby guiding the heart towards righteousness. And so the Qur'an, it contains admonition. It has great encouragement. Likewise, there are warnings as well as promises for great mercy and forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever a believer, he reads these verses and he has sincere faith, believing in them, then this will instill in his heart and cultivate in his heart longing for that reward. He would desire to have the mercy of Allah. He would hope to have the help of Allah. He would hope to be from those whom Allah will shower them with His mercy, from those who Allah will admit them into paradise, from those whom Allah will be their protector and be their aider in the life cycle. And he will fear being abandoned and being left to his desires. He will fear the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in reading the Qur'an in this manner, it will move the heart. It will move the heart. And the fundamental movements of the heart is love, hope, and fear. Is love, hope, and fear. وَإِذَا وُجِدَتْ فِيهِ الرَّغْبَةُ فِي الْخَيْرِ وَالرَّحْبَةُ مِنَ الشَّرِّ نَمَتَا عَلَى تَكَرُّرِ مَا يَرِدُ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ مَعَانِيَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْجَبَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيمَ مُرَادِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مُرَادِ النَّفْسِ وَصَارَ مَا يُرْضِ اللَّهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَى الْعَبْدِ مِنْ شَهْوَةِ نَفْسِهِ. He says, Rahimahullah, these are great benefits. He says, Rahimahullah, whenever the heart develops a desire for goodness and fear of evil, and these qualities grow stronger in the repeated exposure to the meanings of the Qur'an. Meaning that from the traits of the Qur'an, and this is mentioned in the next verse the author is going to discuss, likewise, that the Qur'an repeats itself time after time, repeats the same issues. The issue of the promise of paradise is repeated over and over in the Qur'an. The threat of the hellfire is repeated over and over in the Qur'an. The stories of the prophets, even one prophet, like the story of Musa alayhi salam, is repeated over and over in the Qur'an, time after time, but in different manners and from different aspects and in different ways. And this is because the faith in the heart is a seed. The faith in the heart is like a seed, and the seed needs water. It needs water and needs nourishment and cultivation. So the Qur'an approaches in this manner, nurturing that seed of faith in the heart by constantly watering it and bringing the nutrition and the iman from different aspects in different ways time after time, over and over. Time after time, over and over. Whenever the heart develops a desire for goodness and the fear of evil, and these qualities grow stronger with the repeated exposure to the meanings of the Qur'an. The verses are recited to him over and over. He reads it time after time. And the verses, they're taking effect. They're affecting his heart. This leads to prioritizing the will of Allah over one's own desires. This now it will cure his heart to where he will love Allah and he will prefer the love of Allah over his desires. To where he'll love Allah and he will prefer the love of Allah over his desires. This is the great fruit of the Qur'an. To cure oneself and one's soul and his lust for that which is impermissible by benefiting from the admonition of the Qur'an and taking heed and believing in the promise of Allah that is mentioned in the book of Allah. And likewise, the threat of Allah that is mentioned as well. And the more a person studies and the more a person reads, along with studying the details of the creed, as I mentioned before, and then coming back to the Quran and reciting again, time after time, this is what will cultivate that. Whenever the heart develops a desire for good and a fear of evil, and these qualities grow stronger, when they're with the repeated exposure to the meanings of the Quran, this leads a person to begin to prioritize the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla over one's own desires. And this is where where the test lies. We're tested with this affair. Will we follow our desires or will we follow our Lord? Will we follow our desires and the command of our soul, or will we follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which one will we show preference towards? Which one will we show preference towards? This is the test here. This is the test here. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So this is where the test lies here. So he says, Rahimahullah, and if thus because of this, what pleases Allah becomes more beloved to the servant than his own worldly temptations. And by benefiting from the admonition of the Quran, showing preference to the command of Allah, eventually Allah will open his heart and now he will prefer that which is beloved to Allah. It will become easy for him. It will become easy for him. It will become facilitated for him to be obedient and to be good. No doubt this life is a trial and one will always be tried, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for a true believer. There will be a test, there will be times of difficulty, but the one who is sincere and the one who is truthful, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى. The ease will come. The ease will come. Maybe there's difficulties or there's troubles or there's trials or there's hardships and a person is overwhelmed by his desires, but if he is sincere and he keeps striving and he puts his faith in Allah, as mentioned before, يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ لِسِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He truly puts his faith in Allah. And then he takes the means by holding fast to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah will make a way out for him. Allah will make a way out for him. وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلُهُ مَخْرَجًا. The Shaykh, he says, رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ وَكَذَلِكَ مَا فِيهِ مَنْ لِبَرَاهِينَ وَالْأَدِلَّةِ أَلَتِي صَرَّفَهَا اللَّهُ غَايَةِ التَّسْرِيفِ أَلَتِي صَرَّفَهَا اللَّهُ غَايَةِ التَّسْرِيفِ وَبَيَّنَهَا أَحْسَنَ بَيَانٍ مِمَّا يُزِيلُ الشُّبَهَ الْقَادِحَةَ فِي الْحَقِّ وَيَصِلُ بِهِ الْقَلْبُ إِلَىٰ أَعْلَى دَرَجَاتِ الْيَقِينِ. Likewise, the Qur'an contains proofs and arguments, and clarifying, detailed proofs that Allah has presented in the most perfect and eloquent manner, clarifying them in the best possible way. These eliminate any doubts that undermine the truth. These eliminate any doubts that undermine the truth, allowing the heart to reach the highest levels of certainty and conviction. Allowing the heart to reach the highest levels of certainty and conviction. He said, Rahimahullah, وَإِذَا صَحَّ الْقَلْبُ مِنْ مَرَضِهِ وَرَفَلَ بِأَثْوَابِ الْعَافِيَةِ تَبِعَتْهُ الْجَوَارِحُ كُلُّهَا تَبِعَتْهُ الْجَوَارِحُ كُلُّهَا فَإِنَّهَا تَسْلُحُ بِصَلَاحِهِ وَتَفْسُدُ بِفَسَادِهِ. He mentioned, Rahimahullah, and when the heart is cured of its ailments and clothed in the garments of wellness and good health, all the limbs will follow in its righteousness, for they become upright when it is sound, and they become corrupt whenever it is corrupted. And then he mentioned in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَالْهُدَى هُوَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ. And guidance and mercy for the believers, he says guidance refers to knowledge of the truth and acting upon it. وَالرَّحْمَةُ هِيَ مَا يَحْصُرُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَالثَّوَابِ الْعَاجِلِ وَالْآجِلِ لِمَنْ اهْتَدَى بِهِ. فَالْهُدَى أَجَلُّ الْوَسَائِلِ وَالرَّحْمَةُ أَكْمَلُ الْمَقَاصِدِ. He says, Rahimahullah, that mercy, the mercy of the Quran here, refers to all the goodness, kindness, and both immediate and eternal rewards that are granted to those who follow the Quran's guidance. And thus, guidance is the noblest means, while mercy is the highest of goals and aspirations. Is the highest of goals and aspirations. So it is by following the guidance of the Quran, one will obtain the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. One will obtain the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَلَكَنْ لَا يَهْتَدِي بِهِ وَلَا يَكُونُ رَحْمَةً إِلَّا فِي حَقِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. However, no one will be guided by way of it, nor will be a mercy for them, except in the right of the believers. وَإِذَا حَصَلَ الْهُدَى وَإِذَا حَصَلَ الْهُدَى وَحَلَّتَ الرَّحْمَةُ النَّاشِئَةُ عَنْهُ حَصَلَتِ السَّعَادَةُ وَالْفَلَاحُ وَالرِّبْحُ وَالنَّجَاحُ وَالْفَرَحُ وَالسُّرُورُ. And whenever guidance is attained and mercy follows as a result, true happiness and success, profit and prosperity, joy and delight are inevitably secured. In this manner, the Quran is a cure and a guide and a mercy for those who believe. And a mercy for those who believe. So therefore, we must strive to study the Book of Allah and learn the creed of Ahl Sunnah and implement that in our lives and strive to establish that daily, wherever we may be. I have one more benefit related to this verse from Ibn Qayyim. We take it or we stop? Tired? Huh? We take it, huh? Okay. جزاكم الله خيرا. قال ابن قيم في زاد المعاد رحمه الله. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in his work زاد المعاد, may Allah have mercy on him. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, he said, وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين. الصحيح أن من ها هنا لبيان الجنس لا للتبعيض. He says, and we send down from the Quran, we send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers. He said that the correct interpretation of min here. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنْ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ رَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we reveal or send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers. So for the brothers and sisters who study the Arabic language, this will benefit them. Min is harf jar, harfu al jar. And the haruf, the two types, haruf al mabani wa haruf al maani. Haruf mabani, they're the fundamental letters that have no meanings, like alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha. And then there's haruf al maani. There are letters, haruf, that have meanings. From them, haruf al jar. So harf al jar, it has a meaning. Harf jar has a meaning. Even one harf jar can have a number of meanings. وَمِمَّا خَطِئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. Ha, صح? وَمِمَّا خَطِئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. So min here, what does min here mean? مِمَّا خَطِئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. Min here means بسبب. بسبب خطيئاتهم. بسبب خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلونا. Because of their sins, they were drowned and cast in the fire. Because of their sins. مما مما مما. So here min, it means سبب. So min here means سببية. You understand? So the word min has a number of meanings. From them, this meaning here. That's not what is intended here. It has another meaning here. So also min has the meaning of bayan al-jins, just to clarify something. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجِزَ مِنْ الْأَوْثَانِ. يعني من الأوثان, يعني أوثان كلها رجس. Like this is to clarify, the أوثان, they're رجس. So min here has the clarification of the type. From all types of أوثان, all of them are رجس. Every type of idol is filth, is filthy. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So min here is to clarify that general meaning. And there's many aspects of min, or many different meanings of min. But this is what he's clarifying here. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Also from the meaning of min, you say, the meaning of min التَبْعِضِيَّ. It means some. For example, if I have some food, I say, قُلْ مِنَ الْحَلَاوَةِ. قُلْ مِنَ الْحَلَاوَةِ. Right? Eat. What does that mean? If somebody told you, قُلْ مِنَ الْحَلَاوَةِ, eat from the sweets, and you ate all of them. Huh? You did bad? Or you did good? He did bad, right? So he says, eat from the sweets. Go ahead and eat from the sweets. Huh? I have $100 in my wallet, you can take from it. If you take all of it, you did wrong, right? You did wrong. Huh? I said, you can take from it. So that's the meaning of min here. So sometimes you say, كُل مِنَ الطَّعَامِ أو خُذ مِنَ الدَّرَاهِمِ. خُذ مِن الدَّرَاهِمِ. Take some of, يعني min here, it means بَعْض. This is the point. This is the point. So he's clarifying here that min in this verse doesn't mean ba'd. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we reveal and send down from the Qur'an that which is a cure and a mercy for the believers. He's saying it doesn't mean that some of the Qur'an is a cure and a mercy. That's not what is intended here. He's saying here that the correct interpretation is that min here denotes the clarification of the jinns. Yani the whole Quran is the healing in entirety. The whole Quran is the healing in entirety. This is what he's clarifying here. This is what he's saying here. Yani libayan wa anna min hahuna libayan al-jins ladi at-tab'id. Ladi at-tab'id. So the benefit from that he's deriving from this one letter here, that the Quran in entirety is a cure and a mercy for those who believe. The Quran in entirety, from the beginning to the end, is a cure and a mercy for those who believe.
وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور.
And Allah, he also says, O mankind, there has come to you an instruction, guidance from your Lord, and a healing for that which is in the breasts, for that which is in the breasts. Ibn Qayyim, he says, rahimahullah,
فالقرآن هو الشفاء التام من جميع الأدواء القلبية والبدنية وأدواء الدنيا والآخرة وما كل أحد يؤهل ولا يوفق للاستشفاء به.
He said, thus the Quran is the complete healing for all diseases, spiritual and physical, in this world and the hereafter. However, not everyone is granted success and the ability or guidance to seek healing through it.
فَإِذَا أَحْسَنَ الْعَلِيلُ التَّدَاوِيَ بِهِ وَوَضَعَهُ عَلَى دَائِهِ بِصِدْقٍ وَإِيمَانٍ وَقَبُولٍ تَامٍ وَاعْتِقَادٍ جَازِمٍ وَاسْتِيفَاءٍ شُرُطِهِ لَمْ يُقَاوِمْهُ الدَّاءُ أَبَدًا.
He said, if a sick person seeks treatment through the Quran with sincerity, faith, full acceptance, firm conviction, and fulfilling its conditions, then no disease can resist it ever.
وكيف تقاوم الأدواء كلام رب الأرض والسماء الذي لو نزل على الجبال لصدعها أو على الأرض لقطعها.
How could illness withstand the words of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, which if they were revealed upon mountains would shatter them, or upon the earth it would cleave it apart?
He says, rahimahullah, فما من مرض من أمراض القلوب والأبدان إلا وفي القرآن سبيل الدلالة على دوائه وسببه والحمية منه لمن رزقه الله فهما في كتابه.
Thus, there is no disease, whether of the heart or the body, except that the Quran provides guidance to its cure, its cause, and the means to avoid it for those whom Allah has granted understanding of His book.
Then he mentions, rahimahullah, أما الأدوية القلبية فإنه يذكرها مفصلة ويذكر أسباب أدوائها وعلاجها.
قال, as for the diseases of the hearts, the Quran explicitly mentions them along with their causes and remedies. Allah, He says, أولم يكفيهم أن أنزلنا عليك الكتاب يطلع عليهم. It is not sufficient for them that we have sent down to you the book which is recited to them.
فمن لم يشفيه القرآن فلا شفاه الله ومن لم يكفيه فلا كفاه الله ومن لم يكفيه فلا كفاه الله.
Thus, whoever is not healed by the Quran, may Allah never heal him. And whoever is not sufficed by it, may Allah never suffice him.
هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.